We're still working our way through the post-resurrection experiences of Jesus. We have seen Jesus raised from the dead. He's been experienced in the upper room. Mary Magdalene and the other women have seen him and proclaimed him risen. Peter and James and John and even Thomas the doubter have seen Jesus and talked with him, knelt down before him and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God." They know he's been raised, but now they've gone back up to Galilee, back up to the home country, back up to where it all started, back up to where they first met Jesus, where Jesus first encountered them, and they're waiting for Jesus to come. They're waiting to see Jesus, and Jesus isn't there. He hasn't shown up yet, and so Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing," and some of the other disciples who are there decide they're going to go with him, so they get in the boat, and they set out to sea, and they're going to go fishing, and they fish all night long. Now you got to remember, these are professional fishermen. These are guys who made their living fishing. They were used to doing it. They know how to do it. They had it down to a pure art, and they could do it, and they could catch fish. They knew how to do it. There was no question about it. They knew how they were going to do it. They had always done it this way, and they get out on the water, and it's not working. In fact, they fish all night long, and even without the burning sun beating down on them, because it's nighttime now, they're sweating, and so they take their clothes off. And they've stripped down to nothing. But as try as they might, as hard as they might, casting the nets as far as they can, going to the extreme edges of their normal fishing zones, they cannot find any fish. They catch nothing. I know what it's like to go fishing for a long time and catch absolutely nothing, to cast and to cast and to cast, but have no fish hit the line. It's frustrating, it's annoying, it's embarrassing, and it never fails that there will be someone who has helpful advice to give when you're not doing very well. And that would be my dad, actually. He was constantly critiquing my casting skills. "Use more of your wrist and less of your elbow," he would say. "Cast sideways and not over your shoulder. Don't snap back on the rod too fast, or don't be too slow in snapping back on the rod. Pull in more line, let more line out. Play with them more, end the fight more quickly. You're casting too slow, you're casting too fast. You'll get your line caught in that tree over there." Oops, now you've got your line caught in the tree over there. "We're going to knock this canoe over trying to get that little $2 fly out of that tree limb. Don't cast your line backwards and put your bait on the other side of the boat and fish the wrong side of the boat." That was my favorite, by the way. "How am I supposed to know that when I would get that fly up near the bank and a tiny little mini fish, an itty bit, almost the size of a minnow, like a little guppy or a little perch, would go and grab that fly? How am I supposed to know there's a fish on it? I can't feel that. And I'll back cast and I'll see the bait go. And I'll see the fish go. And it'll land in the water on the other side of me in the middle of the river." And Dad would yell at me, "You're fishing the wrong side of the boat. Or worse, yes, it'll be a little bit heavier, and I'll backward cast, and this perch will come out and go skipping along the surface of the water and slam up against the side of the boat." And then Dad would yell, "You're scaring the fish away." Critiquing, having critical things to say. God, I miss my dad. I need him right now in my life, God. Can I have him back, please? Give him a furlough on heaven and send him down here to earth, please. Thank you very much. Sometimes I think this is how the disciples felt. They missed Jesus. They knew he was alive. They knew he'd been raised from the dead. They'd experienced him. They knew it. They knew he was alive, alive, alive forevermore. Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. But they still missed him. It wasn't as if he was with them as he had been before. The last time they were on the lake fishing, he was sleeping in the back of the boat when the storms grew up and he got up and calmed the sea. Now he's nowhere to be seen. They missed Jesus. They missed his presence. They missed his words. They missed his calming touch. And now that he's not there, they've caught nothing. It must have been very frustrating They've been doing what they know how to do. Peter, James, and John, they know how to fish. It's their life's work. But now absolutely nothing has come into the nets. And then some stranger comes along the beach, the shore. And this stranger calls them children. He chides them. He's condescending them. Hey, children, you haven't caught anything, have you? I'm sure they looked at each other and said, what in the world? Who is this? Who does he think he is? Why don't you fish the right side of the boat? Well, what does he think we've been doing? We've been here all night fishing all over the place. Fish the right side of the boat, he says. The other side of the boat. So Peter, James, and John, they could probably look at each other. All right. So they cast the net. And this time, they pull in more fish than the net can hold. In fact, a little later on, it says 153. I can see them counting. 1, 2, 3. 153 fish are caught in the net. Whammo! They hit the jackpot. And John stands up and looks at Peter and says, I think it's the Lord. And Peter gets so excited. So what does he do? He puts his clothes back on to jump into the water. Peter, I think Jesus knows what you look like. Come on. But he swims to Jesus to be with him while the rest of the disciples come with the boat, pulling that net full of fish ashore. Oh, just like the disciples, in the midst of our night, we keep doing things the way they've always been done, and nothing much seems to be happening. Perhaps it worked 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, or 50 years ago when I was born and this church was built. We could open the doors and the fish, the people, would jump in. But that doesn't work anymore. That really doesn't work anymore. I like doing things the way I've always done them. We're most of us are that way. We like getting into our routines and the way we do things. We know what we like. We like what we know. We do those things we like and those things we know. We don't like getting uncomfortable. We want to be comfortable. We want to be in our comfort zone. We like the old hymns, Marching to Zion, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, Victory in Jesus, Amazing Grace, Blessed Assurance, the old Rugged Cross. We love the old traditional hymns. We love the great, big, wonderful choirs that sing glorious praises to God. We love the liturgies, the doxology and the Gloria Patri. We love saying the Lord's Prayer and affirming our faith with creeds. We like the classic traditional forms of worship. And there are many of us who still do and still will. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not necessarily the only way we have to cast our nets. That's not the only way we can be about fishing for people. Now, some churches like people that look, you know, mostly like them. They sound like them. They look like them. They smell like them. They probably even taste like them. They work the kind of jobs they work. They come from the kind of places they came from. They went to the kind of schools that they went to. They like people that look and act and feel and smell pretty much just like them. But as the song says, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, all are precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, and some of the big children too. All of the big children too. Some of us like to be around and hang around people who are just like us, but there are more than people who are just like us in this world. Some churches want pastors that are only guys, all right? You know, those of us with beards, you know, like Brian and me. But there are some fabulous pastors, as y'all know, fabulous pastors who are women, who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ amazingly, beautifully, wonderfully, effectively. There are some churches that want a pastor that's their ethnicity, but we know people of all ethnicities proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have many friends who are Asian or African American, or various ethnicities within Europe, or Hispanic, wonderful people who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in English and in other languages. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. We're called to welcome all, regardless of where they're from, who they are, who they love or who they marry, what they do for a living. We're called to welcome all into the body of Christ. We're called to welcome all into the community of faith. We're called to welcome all into the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, just as we will have a baptism in a minute and incorporate a beautiful child of God into the family of faith anew and afresh and proclaim God's love for him. So also we're called to proclaim God's love for all without exception. For all. And sometimes that means we're going to have to fish the other side of the boat. We're going to have to cast our nets in ways that are different than what we've normally done. That's what the contemporary service is all about. Well, you know, Greg, I think that's wonderful, but I don't particularly like that kind of music. Or I wish we had some liturgy to go with it. Well, you know, I preached last Sunday evening without a robe on. And if you know me, you know that makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I checked my fly 4 times to see if it had gone down. Yeah. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with letting God push us out of our comfort zone. There's nothing wrong. In fact, there's much to be said for God pushing us out of our comfort zone into the open, casting our nets on the other side of the boat, reaching out for all in many different ways. Because there are many ways to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are many more people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who don't look like us, don't smell like us, don't have our backgrounds, don't love or marry like us. We're called to reach out to all. And that means doing what Jesus says and casting that net on the other side of the boat. My brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to do as a church. I was born into a family that attended Methodist Church. I grew up, my first half of my childhood was in a United Methodist Church that loved God and loved Jesus and believed that we were called to share Jesus with all, without regard for who they were, where they were from. And I can remember sitting down in church one time when I was real little, and there was sitting next to us this black couple. And I thought it was so neat that they were there. Because I had a friend in kindergarten who was also an African-American boy. And I was so happy to get to meet them. And yet, around me, in 1970 Dallas, there were some people who were turning up nose and looking away, even in the United Methodist Church. We're called to cast the net on the other side of the boat, towards people and with people and for people that God would have us welcome in without regard for who they are, where they're from, what they look like, or who they love. We're called to welcome all into the family of God. That's what the election of Karen Olivetta, a lesbian bishop back last year, was about out in the West. Casting the net for and towards a people who have never heard the gospel proclaimed to them positively. They've only heard negative messages. And this was an opportunity to proclaim, God loves you too. God loves all, and all are welcome to hear the gospel, receive the gospel, live the gospel, be transformed by the gospel. All are welcomed and encouraged and invited into the family of faith. My brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to do. Fish the other side of the boat, right here and right now. And that means that what we're doing in the contemporary service, what we do on Wednesday night when we have communion in the Wednesday night service, what we do in the first service with a more traditional, laid-back, informal type service, what we do here, all of these forms and styles of worship is about casting the net in different directions to bring the gospel to all. We've been casting on one side, it's time to cast it on the other and reach for those who need to hear the love of God that we have received and we must share. Let's be about sharing that love. Let's be about opening the arms of the church wide and receiving all with the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let God's people sing.
Well, in your presence,
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.